The Morning Show, Mary and Brian, on this Wednesday. It is the 19th of April, and every year, Civil War enthusiasts look forward to the Civil War Seminar at Liberty University, and this year is no exception. It's coming up this weekend, and the theme is the Western Theater, and joining us now to talk about it, Kenny Rowlett. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
The Western Theater of the Civil War.
It's very odd. Most people don't think of the Western Theater, they think of, you know, the West. Mm-hmm. But during the time of the Civil War, anything west of the Alleghenies or the Appalachians, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, etc., even Tennessee and Kentucky were considered to be the West.
They were considered the West. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. Most people don't know it, but probably the Civil War was lost by the Confederacy in the West long before 1863, Gettysburg and such. And the reason is because of U.S. Grant. They lost ground, they lost territory, they lost men, they lost the Mississippi River. They just lost battle after battle after battle. I mean, there are a few exceptions, but generally speaking, it's a disaster for the Confederacy. And the war in the East is a stalemate, but really that's what many say is what cost it.
Was Vicksburg kind of the end of it, really?
It really. People talk about Gettysburg, but when you lose control of the Mississippi River, what happens is, plus with the blockade, the South has no way to import items that they need. Texas is cut off. Most people don't think about Texas. Very few, if any, battles were fought in Texas. And you basically just isolated 80,000 Confederate troops in Texas after the fall of Vicksburg.
Now, let's go through some of the sessions that you're offering. Our friend Bud Robertson, oh, he's so terrific to hear him speak. And he is going to be giving a presentation called West versus East in a North-South War.
Right. And I'm not going to try to, you know, pre-think him, but basically one person said that the high tide of the Confederacy was never at Gettysburg. Rather, it took place in 1862 with the twin invasion of Maryland and Kentucky. Both of these invasions failed. Had they succeeded, Kentucky being taken by the South and, of course, defeating Union forces in the North, that the Confederacy could have gained the momentum, could have had recognition by France and England, and probably could have won its independence. Since both of these invasions failed and failed miserably, guess what? The South begins its long slide into losing. The war drags on for two more years, but still the war is lost in the West.
As far as Maryland goes, was there some thought that Maryland essentially was a Southern state? And yeah. it would be accepting almost?
Yeah, but Lee took a lot of extra arms and things into Maryland. He thought the men were going to come and join up, and so did Kirby Smith in Kentucky. And a few joined, but basically Marylanders in Kentucky said, no thanks.
Wise decision on their parts, I would say.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of the West, we were in San Francisco recently, and one of the first places that our friends took us was Fort Point. Mm-hmm. Where they talked and they showed the cannons, where they talked about the fort that was there on guard against an attack from the Confederacy. That's what they were waiting for all the way out in California. I'd never known that.
There were some minor battles, skirmishes really, in mm-hmm. New Mexico and Arizona, but nothing of any major size.
Mm-hmm. I mean, were they expecting to? I mean, I know you had like the Alabama and a little bit of blue water fighting, but they weren't expecting Confederate raiders to be on the coast, were they?
No, okay. not really. But it was just there in case there was a bombardment. I mean, had the Alabama or Shenandoah just even bombarded San Francisco, that would have been a great psychological blow to the North.
Oh, yeah. I even thought about that.
Yeah.
So some other sessions include Bill Potter, The Life of Confederate General Mark Lowrie.
Yeah, Lowrie is one of these interesting guys who serves in the Western Army, the Army of the Tennessee. He serves under Patrick Cleburne, who, by the way, is probably one of the better divisional commanders of the war. He goes through the war, and after the war is over, he is one of these men who helps found an educational institution. He serves as one of the trustees of the University of Mississippi. In other words, he preaches. He's kind of he's a general slash a chaplain to his men. So he's one of these men who go through the war, but after the war he creates another career, and it's like Lee after the war. Lee becomes an educator. A lot of Southern generals and leaders became businessmen and educational leaders after the war.
You mentioned Vicksburg earlier. That is one of the sessions as well. Grant's new chapter, Vicksburg, is the turning point for Ulysses S. Grant.
Right. And a lot of the things that people don't know about is that Grant, in February of 1862, takes Island number 10 in Fort Donelson in Kentucky, and basically makes a name for himself as a great leader and so forth. Then he is debunked as being a drunk, which probably never stuck, you know, because he wasn't a drunk. He did drink, but he wasn't a drunk. And he spends a lot of time doing a lot of infighting against Northern generals. And with Vicksburg, this is the end of a long campaign, you know, a long, hard, slogging thing, sort of like Petersburg was later. And when he captures the city the day after, of course, the Battle of Gettysburg, that's the 1-2 punch that effectively puts the South out of the war.
You know, you talk about Grant drinking. There's the great line from Abraham Lincoln when people complained about how much Grant drank. He said, "We'll find out what he drinks and send a case of it to all the other generals."
Yeah, and Grant understood one thing, that you don't capture territory, you destroy the enemy's army. And that's what he constantly tried to do. Lee understood that too, but he never had enough men and resources to do it to the Union Army.
Another topic is the Union politics, cotton, and the Union disaster of the Red River campaign.
Yeah, this was after Vicksburg fell. Grant wanted to go in and clean out Texas because, remember, there were 80,000 troops there, not in one big area, but not in one big concentration, but scattered about. And so what they do is, in the fall of 1863, they invade or try to invade Texas through Louisiana. Well, it's a disaster from the beginning. It's sort of like what's-his-name's campaign to capture Lynchburg. It's just a snafu after snafu, and what happens is the Confederates, having fewer forces, defeat them, and then they retreat back through Louisiana. And what happens is they lose men, a lot of guerrilla activity. It's a disaster, and so for the rest of the war, Texas is left alone. And basically, what the Confederates do in Texas is fight Comanche Indians.
And then finally, Bud Robertson again talking about the Civil War in memory.
Yeah, and the thing is, again, people do not think as much about the Civil War until they hear things like the removal of the Lee statue. But, of course, we're still dealing with the after effects of the war. People are still refighting the war. It's always going to be, you know, one of these events that you just are not going to get away from. It's like the first big argument in a marriage. You never quite forget it, no matter who was right and who was wrong. But that first event defines who you are. And, again, the Civil War defined who we are. As the country becomes more diverse, fewer and fewer people can go back and trace their ancestors. It's going to kind of recede. But I still think probably 100 years from now, they'll be talking about the Civil War.
You know, and you just said you referred to him as what's-his-name, tried to capture Lynchburg, and it's kind of like you're like an old friend. You know, you know these people, you know these figures so well that it's kind of like, crazy, what's-his-name? Hunter?
Okay, I've got a brain freeze.
I know, but it's
General
just,
Hunter, yeah.
I know,
yeah,
but, it's,
yeah.
But it's just funny. When you say what's-his-name, it's just like you're talking about these historical figures like they're old friends because you know them so well. I get the feeling that you feel like you know these people.
It's like my grandsons with Star Wars. They know, Kylo Ren.
Yes,
they know all these characters, and I'm going, who? But they know them, and they talk about them as if they're real people. And of course, when you read about these historical figures, you kind of get in. They get inside your mind, and it's like you know these people, although you really don't.
Now, speaking of the Lee statue controversy, that's just, what do you make of what's going on in Charlottesville?
Speaking personally, here's what I said to someone. Down in Richmond several years ago, they were talking about where to put Arthur Ashe's statue, okay? And I think the solution to putting Arthur Ashe's statue down there on Monument Avenue was a very good one. So here's my answer to that. Rather than remove Lee's statue, which has been there and so forth, why not add statues of prominent local blacks in different parks and places around the city? Rather than take out statues, why not add statues? I don't know the history of Charlottesville as much as others do, but certainly there are local black people, men and women, who contributed to the history of Charlottesville, Albemarle County. Put up more statues. You don't need to take them down. You need to add more. Spread it out. Diversify.
Add more to add context.
Exactly.
Instead of just trying to pretend something didn't happen.
Exactly. You do not change history.
So now Charlottesville's going to sell it. They're going to try to sell the statue. Any ideas for maybe a buyer and a new location? We were playing around with the idea.
If I could talk to my wife, put it on my backyard. But I think the Museum of the Confederacy down at Appomattox would be a great place. However, I don't I can't speak for them, but I think they're going to probably have to move it. Someone told me it would cost $300,000 to move that. Ooh. So unless you have someone with deep pockets and a suitable place to put it, I don't see it being sold to an outside entity. Mm-hmm. I think they'll put it in another place. But I just hate moving and trying to rewrite history. History is what it is.
Kenny Rowlett, and the Civil War seminar is coming up this weekend. So tell folks how they can. It's free, right?
Yes,
it's
free.
Yeah.
It's at the Visitor Center, 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. If you have any questions, call 592-4366, 592-4366. We'll also be having an art exhibit of the Civil War art of Don Troiani, and we have a luncheon. So give a call. We'd love to have you come by.
The Western Theater is this year's theme for the Civil War seminar, and folks can find out more information also at liberty.edu. Thanks, Kenny. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you again.